This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. I am your host, Tony Ruggiero, as I am each and every week. Myself and Jackson Court occasionally jumps in as well and provides you with a conversation with somebody from around the world of golf. These discussions, these conversations, these roundtable chats and fireside talks all come from our travels in and around the world of golf, whether it's here in Mobile, Alabama, in my office and studio, or down where I teach primarily at Old Palm Golf Club in Palm Beach Gardens, or whether it's out at the LIV Tour, PGA Tour, Corn Ferry Tour, LPGA Tour, Epson Tour, wherever it is we travel in the world of golf. These are the people that I find informative, interesting, funny, great information, anything that can help you understand, teach, or play the game of golf better. That's what my goal has always been from the Dew Sweepers all the way through the Tour Coach. And want to invite all of you to continue listening. We've got some great content out. Please check out Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. That's Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. I am blown away by the number of folks that continue to watch and our content. And the Pro Work series is alive and well. We've just put one out recently. We got another one coming out soon in another week, which takes you inside the ropes, behind the scenes, and lets you really get a sense for how I work with all the different teammates that we have as we continue to focus on developing the next level of talent and helping people play their best golf. So check out our Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. I appreciate the support. Continue to listen to the Tour Coach here. Please like and subscribe and share it as we continue to grow the Dew Sweeper movement, and would encourage all of you to come see us for one of our retreats through the summer or into the fall down at Old Palm Golf Club, or we've got one in August up at Bluebell as well. And come hang out and improve at the game of golf. And now that I'm a tequila man, come hang out afterwards. We'll tape a little podcast and you can drink an epic Western with me. There's no better drink I am finding to relax with, chill with, whether it's on the water, on the boat, fishing, or hanging out after a good day on the tee. That's Epic Western. Enjoy this episode of the Tour Coach.
Driving from Augusta to Myrtle Beach. Got a good friend, great coach, who's been phenomenal with his time and sharing info with me, and we've done a couple golf schools together. Gary Crescent out of Augusta Country Club in Augusta, Georgia. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jackson. Thanks for having me.
How's that drive in the Ford F-150?
It is glorious, except, you know, like I was telling you earlier, the getting to Myrtle Beach seems like it's impossible, but I'm eventually going to get there.
I told you I got a Ford F-150 recently.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Okay, good. I'm glad that glad I didn't send you down the wrong path there.
That's right. Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself, because this will be your first time on the Tour Coach pod. And I was going to intro this first segment with a little bit about how you dug it out of the ground as far as your golf game, and then how that helps you coaching. So take us through a little bit of your story.
Yeah, so I mean, I grew up playing baseball. I didn't really play much golf. I played a little bit here and there with my dad or with some buddies during the summertime, and was always pretty good at it. But I had most of my upbringing was other sports, baseball, football, basketball. So I think a lot of my coaching mindset comes from a lot of those team sports, and then, you know, my own journey in baseball of, you know, working on things individually, which kind of leads more into golf, where it's kind of on your own more so. But I got into golf when I finished playing college baseball at Georgia College and started working out at Reynolds at Lake Oconee, and got pretty good at golf pretty fast. Within 3 months, I think I'd broken 70 for the first time, and I was like, well, maybe I'm pretty good at this. Maybe I should pursue trying to play competitively, which at that point I never played a competitive golf tournament. And then so I kind of got into the golf business, started playing a little bit of section stuff, and then realized you know, what it took to score and get better in tournaments, and the amount of time it took to practice. And I did a lot of that. You know, I'd spend, you know, the first 2 or 3 hours of every day before I went to work just grinding on my game, whether it was a short game or long game, or just hitting shots or working on different pieces to really just to hit golf shots where I feel like I could control the golf ball with feels, the way I was moving through the ball. And as I continued to build, and those were, a lot of those fields were built around baseball because that's what I knew.
Okay.
You know, a lot of fields that I built in my swing were, you know, throwing a ball. So, like, I played a lot of second base, and so a lot of that sidearm throw from second base mimics what a golf swing feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a bunch of fields that were around that were allowed me to feel the same way I felt when I was, you know, playing other sports. And so as I kind of integrated those fields, I got a lot better at golf really fast.
Was there a linear trend to your progression, or were there those obstacles and those speed bumps where all of a sudden you feel like you took two steps back in your progress?
You know, from a ball striking standpoint, I think I continually progressed as I was working on it. I think short game wise, I probably had some of that up and down going on. Yeah, I certainly had struggles with putting, and I think a lot of guys that are really good at hitting it tend to, what I know now is that I probably wasn't struggling putting. I was just creating that story in my head because I hit it so good.
Yep.
And I say that honestly. I think I tee to green, I was really good, and I had a lot of looks inside of 20 feet every time I played golf. And, you know, you'd walk away and shoot one or two, or one or two under or one or two over, and you're like, man, I just don't know how I didn't score better than that. And so that mentality, I was unaware. I didn't know how to deal with that, which I feel like I know a lot more about that now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that was probably more of the setback for me playing wise was I wasn't strong enough mentally to understand or get through that barrier, which led me into coaching.
And so how has that process and your learning helped you with your coaching?
Well, I mean, I think one is to dig in and understand, you know, what's real in those things. And then to, you know, I guess your experience certainly is going to lead your thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then being able to connect with guys and understand and empathize in certain situations is good and bad. But I think my background of team sports, where I always had teammates picking me up, you know, if I made a mistake or I had a tough game, that, you know, teammates would pick me up and lead me to, hey, let's, tomorrow's another day, we're going to do this, you know, don't let today define you, kind of thing. And I think that's what's really helped me as a coach, you know, to help guys, you know, understand it's all part of the process, the good and the bad and the struggles and the acceptance and the staying in your process of what you believe helps you get better every day.
Hmm. It kind of goes into one of my questions I had for you about how to motivate people, because oftentimes you got to be a cheerleader and then you got to know when to kick somebody in the butt too and get them going. And there's a tough balance between that person to person, but there's also the right time to do that as well, especially because you work with, I don't know how many tour players and professional players, but they don't, this time aspect for getting better, they're always playing.
Right.
And figuring out which button to press and when to press it is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I always try to go back to the, you know, what is, if we're working on something, you know, it's like, remember what the main goal here is, especially if it comes to a technical piece and you look at video, I don't really like the way that looks. And I always go, okay, well, what's the goal here? Is the goal for it to look good, or is the goal here for it to be functional under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so to make sure that there's always that, the sight of what you're working towards, and that progression towards that goal. You know, we are wired for progress. When we feel progress of any kind, we start developing confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that seeing some fruit from work that you've done, whether it's, you know, you hit, you know, a shot a little better than you did the day before, or you did a little better in a certain wind condition, or you were able to control a shot that maybe you couldn't control a month ago, regardless of how you played in the tournament, the whole goal is to get better at golf. And that you, if you continue to get better at golf, your results are going to get better. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, yes, it's definitely a delicate balance. I mean, some guys want to be kicked in the butt. Some guys don't. And that's also, you know, having the patience and the understanding of the person in front of you is takes, that also takes some time. And you know, a lot of guys, I think because of that, that pressure to get better today, they don't stick with a coach long enough to be known that well, you know, cause they don't help them in the first week. It's like, well, you can't help me. You know, I think I recognize that sometimes when guys come in, but I'm lucky to have some guys that have been patient to go through the process and we're just digging it out of the dirt every day and trying to grind on that rock, you know?
Yeah. That person complex there is really fun. Are there any other ways that you have found best to motivate people?
You know, I've asked players to give me some goals, you know, some yearly goals, some small ones and some big ones. And I keep those kind of in my back pocket for when they start getting off course. I think there's also, you know, I think those goals are, whether they're golf related or just life related.
Okay.
I like to know a little bit about both because I think they're connected. Hmm. And I think that, one can help motivate the other, whether it's a life goal help motivate you in golf or a golf goal that help you motivate in life. I think those kind of things are, you know, to get the real part out of a person. Because the goal is to win every golf tournament you play in. But like, we realize that 150 guys have the same goal every week. So, that's a given. So like, to give you the motivation to go do a practice session because you have this goal that you want to be, you want to hit more greens. Okay. Well, you got to know how to practice to go hit more greens. And then you got to know, how to let yourself go play golf and not be thinking about hitting greens.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a very delicate balance in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Is there a difference for you in coaching, motivating, helping people reach their goals from a professional standpoint to a junior golfer standpoint to an average Joe weekend warrior?
You know, I think it's all very similar. Obviously the time frame is mm-hmm. the biggest difference. You know, I mean, a guy that wants to, it's a 12 that wants to be a single digit, you know, he's, if that happens in a year or 2 years or 3 years, generally speaking, they just want to continue to get better. But you know, a guy who's, trying to keep his card and keep his job, and, that's a little, you know, that's where, you know, I'll spend an hour with the 12, but I'll spend 3 or 4 hours with the professional, you know? So it's like, it's all in that similar, you know, input into the person, input into the game that, I think the time frames of things is the biggest difference between working with a junior or a club player or a professional.
Yeah. The junior, I feel like, is much more of a marathon goal. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think that's very much, I think you have an opportunity to build over time, and you also know that there's a lot of development happening on their own that you want, like for me, I personally want them to develop their own golf swing. That is, I've kind of given them some fundamental pieces to stay within those parameters, but outside of that, I want them to have their own style, their own way of playing, their, you know, all of these little authentic pieces, because, and those pieces take time to build.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, that's to me is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a kid come in the other day that was 10, it's the first time I'd ever seen him, and he's a really, really good player. And, you know, he had a weird grip, and I was like, so tell me, he's been with other instructors. I said, nobody's ever talked to you about your grip? And he's like, no, nobody's ever said anything. I'm like, really? Hmm. Like, okay, well, let me teach you about the grip. And I showed him something, and just a little tweak, and he's like, that just feels right. I was like, wow, okay. Well, why don't you go run with that and go learn about it.
Yeah.
Go hit balls. Go figure it out. Mm. Like, that's all we need to do.
Which is kind of where you started digging it out of the dirt, right? And then you compare that to your weekend warrior, which I've had more of here at Atlantic Beach, where I've got the guys that are working and have families, and they want to go from a 20 to a 10 or a 12 to a 2, but that time aspect isn't there. And figuring out which domino to press and how to get them, because they want the results right away. They don't have that, like, time, maybe call it passion, whatever it is, where the junior's available after school to go hit some range balls and go play nine holes and wants to dig it out of the dirt around the short game area, where, you know, the weekend warrior might not want to do that. And sometimes those buttons have to be pressed in a different order, in my mind. I don't know if I'm making sense there, but obviously it's person specific, but that is way different than managing a professional who doesn't have a long off season, and then you're going to see them and you're working on something technical, but they need results that week as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally speaking, the weekend guy is, if you tell them, hey, if you want to be if you're 20 and you want to be a 10, here's what it looks like. And here's kind of the time you're going to need to put in to do this. And you could do this in 6 months or 6 years.
Right.
Right. And then the tour pro, you know, I think generally their fundamentals are pretty good, right? So then there's a little more digging to do. Is it is it mindset? Is it management? Is it decision making? Is it there's a lot of little. It's generally not, you know, when I try to hit a cut, I hit snap hooks, and sometimes, but generally that's not the case, right?
Right.
Whereas that weekend guy, you know, it may be more. He just needs to go spend, you know, an hour a week in the short game area to improve those skills, and he's knocked five shots off right there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It would be lovely if it was that easy at the highest level.
It sure would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Well, I appreciate you sitting in on this segment with me on the Tour Coach mini podcast. We'll have you back for another one, so stay tuned, everybody.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. And look, recently, several teachers I know and several players have had some scares with skin cancer. In fact, I recently went and saw a dermatologist here in town, and I had a couple things frozen off, eyelid, my face, my earlobe, and not getting any younger. And I know it's getting to that time of the season where it's cooler, but look, being in the sun is a real deal, and I've not been very good, to be totally honest, my whole career at using it at all because I didn't like how greasy it was, how hard it was to get off your hands, how it clogged up my pores. And then I found this sunscreen, Visor Skincare. It's clear. It goes on. It doesn't dry you out. It isn't greasy. It's like you didn't put anything on. By far, it's the best sunscreen I've ever used. Without a doubt, is the easiest to use. And we've got a discount code for all of you. All you have to do is go to visorskincare.com, is use our code word, DewSweeper. Visorskincare.com, code word DewSweeper. I just want to remind everybody something that I forgot. Recently, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out. We went to a wedding, and afterwards with some friends, we were like, hey, where's a great place to go? I'll be honest, like, in my travels and day-to-day, sometimes I get caught up and I forget some of the great places right around the corner. But I got to remind you about the Icebox Bar on 755 Monroe Street. I was blown away by just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, and with the Velvet Pig, the food in the back room and the big screen TVs up front. We sat there and watched some playoff games. I was blown away by the atmosphere, the vibe, and just how cool it was to have the Icebox Bar right here near the DewSweepers downtown, near where I live. You're looking for a great place to go sit, watch some games, hang out, play some pool. You got to go to the Icebox Bar right there on Monroe Street. There's a good chance you'll see all of us hanging out. But do yourself a favor, go visit the Icebox. It's one of the best places out there.